No matter what's been good, bad, and ugly this year, no matter what you're going to face next year, you need to know the name Emmanuel, because that means you're not facing it alone.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the powerful message behind one of the names used to describe Jesus.
God is with you.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans.
Merry, merry Christmas to you all. We celebrate the reason for the season, which is Jesus Christ. God become a man, the incarnation, in order to bring about salvation, the forgiveness of sin, and hope in spite of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. When Jesus was born, things weren't all well in the world, but yet the angels still broke out of praise because in the middle of the madness, a Savior has arrived. And that means in the middle of your conflicts and crises, there is a Savior that has arrived. I know that Christmas can be a difficult time of loss, a difficult time of conflict, a difficult time of loneliness for many. But this Christmas, Jesus wants to meet you where you are and show you there is a reason for your season and Him being in the midst of it. So may God empower and comfort you this holiday season. Merry Christmas. And remember, the baby born in a manger is the King who rules for you today.
And that's what today's message is all about. The baby Jesus called Emmanuel, God with us. Let's join Dr. Evans as he shares that good news.
A master key is designed to unlock any door so that you can enter in to see what's inside. Jesus is the master key to Christmas. And one of the ways that we get to know Him is through the many names that God has given to Him in Scripture. Names matter in the Bible because names are used descriptively to describe something or somebody. It's like we use nicknames today. You call somebody slim because they're skinny, or you call them red because they have red hair. In the Bible, names are descriptive. Some time ago, we dealt with the names of God. There are some 85 names of God in the Bible, all designed to give us a description of Him, because no one name can fully define Him. So it is with Jesus Christ. We're given a number of names for us to understand Him better. One name that I would like to focus on today is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It reads as follows. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. But what does that really mean to call Jesus Emmanuel, God with us? Well, back in Isaiah 7:14, God's people were being attacked by the enemy. God showed up and told King Ahaz, I'm going to give you a sign of victory. And the sign of victory I'm going to give you is a virgin having a son, which will be my sign that you win and the enemy loses. So the virgin that has the son is really a sign of your victory, and that I'm going to be with you in spite of what is attacking you. Matthew picks up that quote and quotes it related to the birth of Jesus Christ. So one of the things you need to understand about Emmanuel is that no matter what you have gone through, no matter what's been good, bad, and ugly this year, no matter what you're going to face next year, you need to know the name Emmanuel, because that means you're not facing it alone. God is with you. But let's go a little deeper, because obviously this prophecy goes much deeper. He says that this child that is born will be not just with you, but God with you. So the first thing you need to understand about Jesus Christ is his designation as God. So when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about God, not just another man. When I began to look at some of the names of God in the Old Testament, and then some of the declarations about Jesus in the New Testament, it became even more replete about the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is God. For example, God is called in the Old Testament Elohim, the creator God. And yet the New Testament says everything that was created by Christ Jesus. In the Old Testament, God is called Jehovah, the I am. Jesus says to the Jews before Abraham was, I am. In the Old Testament, God is called Adonai, the boss. In the New Testament, the Bible says we must confess Jesus as Lord, your boss. In the Old Testament, he's called Jehovah Nissi, your banner of victory. In the New Testament, Jesus says, and I have overcome the world. In the Old Testament, God is called Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. In the New Testament, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd and the sheep hear my voice. In the Old Testament, God is called Jehovah Saba. He's the Lord of hosts. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I could have called 10,000 angels. In the Old Testament, God is called El Elyon, the Lord who is high and mighty. In the New Testament, Jesus says, I sit on the right hand of the Father, way up high. In the Old Testament, God is called El Shaddai. In Revelations 1:8, the Bible says Jesus Christ is Lord Almighty. So if you can get confused about the name of God, all you got to do is remember Emmanuel, because he is not only with us, he is God with us. But how did God get to be with us? Because God is transcendent in nature. That means the theologians say he's wholly other. That is, he's outside of our realm. He exists in another realm. He is infinitely distinct from his creation. So you cannot talk about creation as though God is a part of it, because he's distinct from it. He's in another zone. But he wanted to be with us, dwelling among us. So exactly how did this occur? Well, the prophecy tells us, because the scripture says that a virgin would get pregnant and have a baby boy. Well, a lot of things go into that. We call this in theology the hypostatic union. That means the union of two natures in one person, unmixed forever. Let me say that again. The hypostatic union is two natures in one person, unmixed forever. That's why Jesus is sometimes called the Son of God, because he has the nature of deity. And other times he's called the Son of Man, because he has the nature of humanity. Two natures in one person that never cross each other, unmixed forever. Well, the way that occurred is that a virgin would have a baby. When Mary asked the question in the book of Luke, how could this possibly be that I'm pregnant? The angel told her, well, let me explain, girlfriend, how this works. You have an egg, and the Holy Spirit is going to fertilize your egg with deity. And so you are going to, apart from a man, get pregnant and give birth to a baby boy. That is the only time in history that this has occurred. So the reason that Jesus Christ can be God and man is he has humanity and deity coming together to produce two natures in one person, unmixed forever. The Bible explains how that occurs in Philippians chapter 2, because it says in verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped or held on to. So let's just stop there. It says, although he existed in the form of God, That is, Jesus, before he became a man, existed as part of the Godhead. That's why Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "Unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given." Because even though the child was born, the son had to be given because the son existed before the child ever got born. Because the son existed in the form of God prior to the child being born in the form of man. So the only reason you got the child being born is because you previously had the son in existence. He says, now the way that that occurred, according to this next verse, it says, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. He emptied himself. What does that mean? Well, let's pretend you've got a pitcher of water. The water in the pitcher represents deity or divine nature. And then you've got a glass, and you take the pitcher and you pour the water, you empty the water out of the pitcher into the glass. Whatever is in the pitcher, the water now has been deposited or emptied into the glass. So what you had at the virgin birth was deity being poured into humanity. So all that made God God was poured into human flesh. So that apart from sin, God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. He emptied himself into humanity. And why did he do that? So he could be with us. So that he could be human in every aspect of the word apart from sin, while at the very same time being God. And go through the growth and development process that every human being goes through without losing his deity. So just think about that for a moment. The baby in the manger, while crying, is the same baby that made his mama. I mean, think about it. What that says is the baby in the manger, surrounded by animals, because the manger is a feeding trough, was the author and creator of the animals that were using the feeding trough before he arrived to eat out of. Now, the feeding trough is made from wood. So think about it. The baby laying in a wooden feeding trough made the trees that the trough was built out of. Think about it for a moment. Because he was man, he had to cry and take milk from his mother. Because he was God, he made the cow that produced the milk that he was drinking out of. So what you're dealing with, fully God, fully man, wrapped up in one person, the unique person of Jesus Christ. And so it says he emptied himself and made himself in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death. I love when the book of Hebrews explains the fact that when Jesus and God got together, they had a conversation. And in the conversation, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, the Father and Son decided that they would give the Son a body so he could come down and live among men. So the important point you want to know this holiday season is that the way you get closer to God is to get closer to Jesus, because Jesus is God with us. He is Emmanuel. He is the very presence of God in the midst. That is the nature of the incarnation. The incarnation, the becoming flesh of God in man.
Dr. Evans will return in a moment to tell us more about the dual nature of Jesus and the detailed prophecies he fulfilled through his life and ministry. Right now, though, he's here with a quick word about why we're so grateful for your support.
Paul regularly thanked those who came alongside of him, who undergirded him with their generosity for the ministry God had called him to do. Well, we are doing the same. We praise our God for the friends that he's raised up who not only are blessed and benefit from the ministry, but who help sustain it through their generous financial contributions. So we thank God for you. If you're not one of those who come alongside yet, would you consider this being a great time to start? Why? Because as we close out the year, we want to end the year in the black and start the new year strong, but it takes friends and generosity to do that. We want to thank God for you because you have been used of God to keep us going. You are the wind beneath our wings. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your generous year and contributions. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Our hearts are grateful for your generosity.
You know, the holidays can stir up quite a bit within us. Joy, stress, memories, both happy and sad. And sometimes even questions about where God is in the middle of it all. Well, that's the reason Dr. Evans put together his latest book, Messages from the Manger, a Christmas devotional and prayer guide designed to help you recenter your heart and rediscover the power of Emmanuel, God with us. These scripture-rooted reflections walk you through the Christmas story and show how God still guides, provides, shines light into the darkness, and keeps His promises. For a limited time, we're pairing this new book with When the King Came to Town, a 9-lesson Christmas compilation filled with practical truth and hope derived from the story of our Lord's birth. We'd love to send this special bundle to you with our thanks when you make a year-end contribution to support the Alternative Broadcast Ministry. Be sure to take advantage of this offer while it's still available. Just visit TonyEvans.org, where you can find all the details right on the homepage. Or give our resource request line a call at 1-800-800-3222, where one of our friendly team members is ready to help. That number once again, 1-800-800-3222, or visit us online at TonyEvans.org. Well, let's return to Dr. Evans for more of today's message.
Now, let's go a little deeper. The Old Testament prophesied that one day there would come a Messiah. And when this Messiah came, he would come through the legal and the biological lineage of David. In Matthew chapter 1, he makes it clear that it is the line of David. For example, in verse 6, Jesse, the father of David, the king. David, the father of Solomon. So he's tracing this line all the way down. Ruth wasn't even a Jew. She was a Moabitess. But because she followed Naomi, her mother-in-law, back to Israel and met Boaz, got married to Boaz. Boaz was a Jewish man. She had a baby named Obed. Obed had a baby named Jesse, and Jesse became the father of David. So God even reached to a foreign country to get her to the right country to meet the right man so that they could be in the right lineage to fulfill the list in Matthew chapter 1. He goes even further and he traces this line, and then it comes to verse 16. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. But according to the Jewish line, the Messiah also had to have the biology of David. That's why when you look in Luke chapter 3, there's a whole nother genealogy. But that's not the genealogy of Joseph. That's the genealogy of Mary. And he traces the genealogy through David biologically and comes all the way down to Mary, who is the physical mother of Jesus. So now God's got to do something else. He got to get two people to fall in love who are both from the same line. One from the legal and one from the biological. So God not only has to get two people from the line of David, one legal, one biological, to fall in love, he's also got to get them in the right location to fulfill the prophecy that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So enter the Roman IRS, because a census was taken and people were being taxed and had to go back to their place of birth. Joseph then had to go back to Bethlehem, which was his place of origin, in order to fulfill the Roman IRS census. And wouldn't luck have it that he wound up going back at the exact time that it was time for Mary to give birth to her baby boy, so that the prophecy would be fulfilled, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem through the right line. See, God did a whole lot of stuff for you. He did a whole lot of stuff just so he could be God with us. So God became a man, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, so that he could sympathize with our weakness. That we have a high priest who feels it. Why? Because during his 33 years on earth, he went through every category of situation you now face. And when you understand this is who you're dealing with, when you understand what God did to bring about this awesome experience that we call Christmas. He's the real deal. And he became flesh and blood and lived among us so that we could have a personal relationship with the living and true God. That's who he is. So let's give him what he deserves. Let's give him the adoration. What should be the response? Well, let me close with Philippians chapter 2. Here's what it says, beginning in verse 9. For this reason, God has highly exalted Jesus. He's highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name, which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You say, I wish I could feel Jesus. I wish I could feel the closeness that God with us was meant to say. Well, he gives you the secret, if I can call it that, of not only knowing him, but feeling him. He says, at the name of Jesus, God has proclaimed that every knee should bow. Every knee up in heaven. So let me tell you what's in heaven right now. Everybody who's in heaven is paying homage to Jesus Christ because God has declared that everybody is to get recognition to Jesus Christ. Then he says everybody on earth is to pay homage to Jesus Christ. Then he says everybody, folk who have died, God is calling to pay homage to Jesus Christ. So here is the option. You can pay homage to him now voluntarily. Or you will pay homage to him later, mandatorily. But everybody is going to have to pay homage to the Christmas miracle of Jesus Christ. So why don't we give him some real praise during the holiday season? Why don't we give him some real glory? Because this is not another man. This is Emmanuel. This is God become a man who wants to dwell among us. And all you got to do is bow. And give him the glory to his name. Give him the recognition that he deserves. Because he is Lord of life and he is Lord of Christmas.
If you're ready to surrender your life to the Lord and make Christmas more special than it's ever been before, Dr. Evans would love to tell you how. Just visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link at the very top of the homepage that says Jesus. Tony will answer your questions, lead you in prayer, and talk about getting your new life started off right. There are even some free downloadable resources to help you. Don't wait. What better time to start your new life in Christ than here on Christmas Day? Visit TonyEvans.org today. And one final reminder, don't miss your chance to request that special Christmas package I told you about earlier. It includes Dr. Evans' brand new devotional, Messages from the Manger, designed to help you slow down, recenter your heart, and experience the hope and worship of Christmas in a fresh way. It also includes the 9-message audio collection, When the King Came to Town, featuring some of Dr. Evans' most powerful Christmas teachings. It's our thank you gift when you make a year-end donation to help support the outreach of The Alternative. Just visit TonyEvans.org or call 1-800-800-3222. To make the arrangements today. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222 or online at TonyEvans.org. It's easy to let the gifts, events, and expectations of the season drown out the very reason Christmas exists. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans reminds us that Christ was born into a world just as chaotic and troubled as ours. It's a look at recovering the joy we've lost by rediscovering the good news of Christmas. I hope you'll join us.